Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from witchschool.com. Are you looking for the best in pagan and magical education? With more than 12,000 pages, witchschool.com is like having your own personal library with individual learning assistants to help you study. And Witchschool's Anyone, Anytime, Anywhere education system is available any place on Earth, anywhere you are and anytime you want it, as long as you have an internet connection. Witchschool's lifetime memberships are a great value. They really do last a lifetime. They've been there for years, and they'll be there for years to come. So get your membership today at witchschool.com.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.
And hello, everybody. This is Raven Fire Doll, and this is the Tree of Life Hour. Tree of Life Hour is brought to you by the Tree of Life Community Center, a nonprofit group of people here in the Louisville, Kentucky area, dedicated to providing space for people of earth-based religions and philosophies. And tonight is going to be kind of a Chasing Squirrels episode, plus we've got a couple things going on about orgone sculptures, and we're waiting for a couple people to call in. So while we wait on that, I'm going to go ahead and open us up with a song just to kind of get everybody kind of in a happy, happy mood. I just have to scroll down to do this, and tonight is the first night that I'm actually using some new technology. I am actually calling in myself using Skype, which I know is very, very different for me because usually I'm calling in on my phone, but I am trying to do something a little different. So while we wait on Samara and our guest from overseas, actually they're calling in from Sweden at about 3 a.m. their time, I'm going to play a song by Tuatha Dea, and the song is Long Black Curl. Thank you. Okay, so after I played Long Black Pearl, we also played Hum and the Shiver by Tuatha. We were having a little bit of technical difficulty, so that's why we played some music, so y'all didn't have to listen to us deal with technology on the air. That way you at least had some good soothing music and not listening to me cuss about technology.
Well, it wasn't so much technology this time. It was more, I guess it was technology, but it's the way the technology was set up.
What's the problem? Have we figured that out, at least?
There is an issue. Natasha, which I'm assuming that's the way you're saying her name, is Natasja. She is in the Netherlands. I told you Sweden earlier, but it says Netherlands. Sevenbergen, Netherlands. And she was going to call in to Blog Talk Radio using Skype. And unfortunately, apparently in the Netherlands, unlike us here in the States where it's on the Blog Talk page where everyone goes and listens and there's a place where you can click with the little Skype logo to call in to talk to us. Apparently in the Netherlands, it's not on there.
Oh, wow. And of course, we know the Skype Connect does work because I'm actually connected in for once to the board through Skype.
And you sound really good.
Yeah. No, I think the sound quality is excellent here, actually.
It's going to
be
a little
upset when I commandeer his computer more often from him.
But, yeah, it's just apparently in the Netherlands, that link isn't there for them to call and use in Skype.
Ouch.
So, yeah, and when she tried to give me her Skype number, it wasn't connecting at all. So, she didn't have the link at all. Because I even checked it on my laptop. I logged in, and it has the little S Skype logo next to the phone number to call into the show. Well, she sent me a picture and everything. It wasn't there.
Okay. Darn it.
So, unfortunately, I was really looking forward to talking to her. And for those of you who are wondering who she is and what we're talking about, she runs a business called Cabin Gems, CABANGEMS. So I think I spelled that wrong actually in the description of the show, but it's CABANGEMS. I'll have to fix that. And her page, though, is under Natasja Organite, NatasjaOrgonite. And she does have a website also, because I've been on it. It's www.cabangems.com, CABANGEMS.com. She does these beautiful, beautiful creations that are made out of organite. I think that's what it's called. I mean, that's part of her name. I don't know how to describe them. I don't know if she sculpts them, she molds them, or what. But they are beautiful. I mean, she's got, like, dragon heads and ravens and all kinds of stuff. And she creates them out of the organite, which the organite is I don't know how to describe this stuff.
What I was reading is the way it's made is, like, there's metal and crystal and resin, and it's all involved.
Yes.
And then
and it makes it like this powerful energy. I know I ran into it a couple years ago when Serenity and I were at the occult bookstore in Chicago. They were selling some small pieces of oregonite. I got one that was like a skull. But her stuff is just beautiful. I mean, she just put so much detail. Like, the first time I saw the picture of the raven she recently did, when it was on my Facebook feed, I glanced at it, and I was like, oh, that's a cool picture of a raven. It wasn't real. I thought it was real.
Yeah.
Did you ever see it? I tagged you in it.
I saw it. It just I couldn't look at it today because, well, Facebook's not being my friend.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
But yeah, she did some beautiful. We were gonna have her come on tonight and tell us a little bit more about aragonite, since you know that's her big forte that she does, and give us some pointers about it and tell us about what she does and everything. But unfortunately, that didn't happen.
Yeah. And, I mean, we really feel bad about this because for those of you who don't know time differences, okay, it's 6 hours ahead of where we're at right now. So it's 9:30 Eastern time here in the U.S. as I'm talking to you. So it's 3:30 a.m. because the Netherlands is an hour ahead of the U.K. And it's 5 hours between here and London. So it's 3:30 in the morning right now when she was going to call us. So, which actually I was very, you know, I feel horrible for her because she got up so early in the morning, or maybe she stayed up so late, or
I think she took a nap.
Yeah, and then not to be able to get through, it's just, oh, you know, heartbreaking, at least for me, you know.
I know, I feel so bad because of the time change. And so I told her what we'll do is me and her will probably do a Skype session to each other once her connection works better, and probably do a Skype session, and I'll get the information from her, and we'll have to play it.
Yeah, yeah, because, yeah, that's awesome.
So,
as, I mean, her,
I'll
her
have
work.
To make sure she...
Beautiful.
Yeah, she's got unicorns, eagles, dragons, skulls, you name it. She's made it, pretty much, is what it looks like.
Yeah, stuff I've been like, Ulf, can you please buy for me?
Yeah, and her prices are really good, too. I mean, shipping, of course, is going to be a little bit more expensive because it is coming from the Netherlands. But, I mean, even her U.S. prices are pretty good. I mean, I saw some of her pieces that they're around $65.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
To me, for something that's, yeah.
Well, and right now, when you're talking the price conversion right now, getting things from Europe and the U.K. is actually cheaper than it's been in years. Because right now the pound is I'm not going to say the pound is worth less than a dollar, but relatively to the dollar, the pound's not as much. You know, the pound and euro are actually fairly close right now as far as their relationship to a dollar. Because I know when I went to the UK in 2009, I was looking for anywhere from like $1.60 to $1.80 to a pound. Versus right now, it's probably $1.20 to maybe $1.25, the pound to U.S. dollar conversion. Or actually, that's U.S. to pound. And right now, I know the euro is very similar. There's this game I play online, and I actually play on the European server. And, you know, the stuff that I have been picking up from my fellow players in this game, just kind of how, you know, they're talking about how stuff from America right now is so horribly expensive. And then come to find out, well, yeah, the reason why is because of that price thing, because apparently the dollar's strong, the euro and the pound are weaker right now than the U.S. dollar.
Right, and so right now, like, I'm on her website right now, and there is...
You lucky duck.
Well, I wanted to make sure the link was working. She actually has a extra-large aragonite chakra set of dragons. 9 dragon heads in all the chakra crystals, I guess, incorporated into them.
Wow.
Yeah, it's 209 pounds.
Well, hang on. I could probably convert that.
Yeah, I'm trying to see. For some reason, her cart doesn't convert it. On her personal website on Facebook, I mean, on her site on Facebook, she actually gives an American price. She'll give a dollar price, too. She gives the pounds and then the dollar price.
Okay. So, how many pounds is it?
209.
Okay, in pounds.
So, I think with the exchange that she's doing, it would be like 240 in shipping, probably.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to do the conversion because I want people to understand. And it's a me thing.
Yeah, well, she's got an eagle head listed for 125 euros, and it's $140 in U.S. plus shipping.
Yeah.
And this eagle head, I mean, she actually has different colors for different parts of the body. She has eyes in it. So, I mean, and this is like her dragon heads are like the palm, they fit into your hand, like it's a full handful. So these aren't like small. She's even
yeah,
got unicorns.
Right now, on my exchange or on my exchange sites right now, a pound is like $1.30. So if it's like you said, it's what 209 pounds.
Yeah, but you're also getting 9 dragon heads.
Yeah. No, yeah, but I'm going to convert this because you know I'm curious now.
All right. Now this is definitely
so
going to be about
$270. About $270, which actually isn't bad.
No.
Not
so
at
yeah,
all.
This is
not
definitely.
Good. Oh my gosh, that's beautiful.
But yeah, so I will get a recorded session with her, and we will have her on, or we'll have her on at least recorded somehow.
Yeah, so we have not given up on this at all yet, dear listeners. We have not. So I guess, so we were also going to kind of do some chasing squirrels. So I guess it's time to start chasing a few squirrels, huh?
I think we've already been chasing for the first squirrels, so. Though.
Okay, well, the first thing I do want to mention, in some states, early voting has already started. So if you live in a state that early voting has started, and in a moment I can tell you where all early voting has started.
Pound away at the keys.
Okay, so I'm actually getting this up from Politico. I know in Kentucky does not allow early voting. But Wisconsin, you can go ahead and vote. South Dakota and Minnesota will be start tomorrow. New Jersey starts Saturday, and Vermont's probably about Saturday. It says in total 37 states and District of Columbia will allow early voting. Some of those states allow voters to request mail ballots and send them in, while others open physical polling places weeks and even months before the election. So in Alaska, voting starts October 24th. Okay. I'm going to go down state by state because, you know, this is a presidential election and I really am laying the smack down. I want everybody to vote. I may not agree with the particular candidate that you're voting for, but I do think that it's very important that we all vote. So Alabama, no early voting. Alaska will start October 24th. Arizona, October 12th. Arkansas, October 24th. California, the dates are set by the city, but October 10th is going to be the first day to vote in L.A. County, which is Los Angeles. Colorado is October 24th. No early voting for you that live in Connecticut. If you live in the D.C., October 22nd. Delaware, no early voting. In Florida, from October 29th to November 5th, they're required to allow early voting. Some have the option to start earlier. In Georgia, October 17th. Hawaii, October 25th. Idaho is already voting. Illinois started today, September 29th to November 7th. Indiana, early voting will start October 12th. Iowa is voting right now. Kansas will start October 19th. Of course, Kentucky, no early voting. Boo, I don't like that, but, you know, what can I, you know. Our elected officials in Kentucky are not listening to us. Anyway, in Louisiana, October 25th to November 1st. Maine, October 9th is the general opening date, but the state allows you to vote as soon as the ballots are printed, and some people have already cast their ballots in Maine. Maryland, October 22nd to November 3rd. Massachusetts, October 24th to November 4th. No early voting in Michigan. Minnesota is already voting. Mississippi, no early voting. Same for Missouri. Montana, they're going to be starting around October 11th. Nebraska, October 3rd. Counties mail out requests starting on the 3rd, but the first day to vote early in person is October 7th. Nevada will start October 22nd. New Hampshire, there's no early voting in New Hampshire. Unless you know, in all these states that have no early voting, you have to have an authorized excuse to vote absentee. New Jersey is voting September 24th. New Mexico, October 11th through November 5th. There's no early voting in New York. North Carolina, they have early voting on September 9th and then from October 20th to November 25th. North Dakota has already started early voting. Ohio will start October 12th. Oklahoma, November 3rd to November 5th. Oregon, October 19th. No early voting in Pennsylvania. No early voting in Rhode Island. No early voting in South Carolina. South Dakota is already voting right now. Tennessee, October 19th to November 3rd. Texas, October 24th to November 4th. Utah, October 25th to November 4th. Virginia, no early voting. Vermont, September 23 to November 7th. So, folks in Vermont, you're voting right now. Washington, October 21st. West Virginia, October 26th to November 5th. Wisconsin has already started. Wyoming has already started voting. So, if you're in one of those states that have already started early voting, you can go in and early vote. For those of you that live in states that do not have early voting, you need to find out where your local precinct is, as the election will be Tuesday, November 8th. And you need to get out. You need to find your local neighborhood polling place. Go up, show up, vote for the candidate of your choice. You know, there are people who do have strong opinions. All I will tell people, even though I'm sure our listeners have listened to me wax politics for a long time. Even if you don't agree with me, I do urge you to get out and vote your conscience, whatever your conscience tells you to do. You know, I don't think that this country can become a better place, at least this is for our U.S. listeners, unless you actually do get up and vote. You don't have to vote for a major party candidate. You can choose to vote for third party. There's a few good third party candidates out there. But seriously, go vote and vote your conscience. That's the only way that I think that we're going to be able to make some positive changes, you know, no matter what, you know, because In Kentucky, we got Governor Matt Bevin because people did not show up and vote. So that's why I'm urging you people, you know, you find people who can hear me. I'm laying a challenge down. I want everybody to go vote. And I'm going to tell you, on our Facebook page on voting day, you'll see my face. I know you're going to see Ulf because we go to the same polling place. Get some pictures. You'll see us voting because we're going to vote. You know, we're...
It depends on if I have Megab on or not.
Huh?
It'll depend if I got Megab on or not.
Hey, I'll take my picture with or without makeup because I'll be getting off work that morning. And, you know, when I get off work, I kind of look like a scraggly, you know.
Well, I work from home, so I look scraggly all the time. So.
Yeah. I don't have the luxury of working from home. I work in a basement of a building that was built in 1939.
Speaking along the terms of voting and civil, you know, doing what is your right,
mm-hmm.
Did you read about there is a new manager for the Pagans with Disabilities?
No,
For the Pagan Federation. Yes, the new person that took over, because it looks like the former manager got ill, is the Pagan Federation Disabilities Manager is now Debbie Gregory, and she has laid out some of the stuff that the priorities they're trying to do, such as raising awareness and letting people know that disabled pagans are trying to access the pagan community and are finding barriers to joining in on events and groups. 2, speaking to people who are actively discriminating against disabled pagans and educating them in a professional manner about how to coexist with people with mental or physical disabilities. 3, working with event organizers to find spaces where physically disabled pagans can participate and have access to ramps, public toilets, and amenities. I can't talk tonight. So, in England, apparently in England and Wales, this isn't a small task for some of this stuff, because they said that a lot of the venues are scarce, and many of the pubs where the popular moots are held are village or town pubs that were built before current codes for accessibility were enacted. Says, of course, while they're atmospheric, these old buildings have many narrow doors, cramped washroom facilities, and often have stairs throughout the space, making it difficult, if not impossible, for physically disabled people to enter. And they're just saying that even, you know, as an organizer, if you don't want to abandon your favorite spot or pub or venue, that, you know, maybe you can at least relocate just a couple times a year, have it somewhere else, just as a gesture of inclusiveness.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I know in the U.K., because I think this group, aren't they out of the U.K.?
Yeah, it's England and Wales. But, you know, but they're the ones that have also been doing the online festivals.
Yeah.
People with disabilities.
And I think that's absolutely awesome. You know, I kind of looking at things as far as for disabilities through Ulf's eyes, because for those of you all who don't know, Ulf has a special walk, I guess is the way I could describe it. He's got his own rhythm to his walk. He has cerebral palsy and a couple of other issues that get to him. And we've gone, you know, like we have to sit there, and Samara's heard us talk about that. Like, man, I really want to go to that event, but we can't because we can't tent camp because he can't sleep on the ground. Or, man, I really want to go to that, but it's too spread out, or it's too rustic, or, and you will hear this. And that's something that, like, before me and him were together, I didn't necessarily look, you know, hey, is this place accessible? Because I know Tish at Pagan Unity Festival, you know, they do an awesome job of trying to make their site. Their site's probably one of the most accessible sites that we've been at. Chrysalis, when they had it at Tippecanoe State Park, it was actually fairly accessible. You know, it's stuff when – the thing is when you're an organizer of an event and you don't have disabilities, and I'm guilty of this myself, you don't think of, well, what if a person's in a wheelchair? What if a person can walk, but they have to walk on like smooth surfaces, you know, or they can walk, but they can't really do steps, or, you know, we need to make sure that wherever we go is going to have like seats that are comfortable, because if the seats aren't comfortable, then a person can't necessarily stay that long because they can't sit for that long. And it's actually had me like look at venues a little differently when we've picked venues and stuff for different things, because that's one of the reasons that we've kind of settled on Wix for our the Heathen Pub Moots, because it is fairly accessible. There aren't, you know, from the back entrance, there are no steps, and there's steps up into the room where we're at, but it's only a couple of steps, and the room they let us have is kind of away from the rest of the restaurant, which is nice. But yeah, it's, you know, if we knew that we had somebody coming who was in a full-on wheelchair, we would move like to a different spot, at least a different spot in the restaurant. But that's something I think a lot of organizers don't think about, and I honestly would like to see more like festival and event organizers, like, I wouldn't necessarily say hire someone who's disabled, but maybe talk to someone who's disabled about a site and like have them go through the site, because they can flat out tell you, you know, this is good, this is good, this is good, this bites. Or, you know, hey, I'm thinking about hosting an event at such and such. What do you think of the site? And if they've been there, they'll be honest with you. It's great, but getting to the bathrooms is a pain. Or, oh my gosh, it's a great site, but I have to park 5 miles away, so it's not worth it. And I really like what this group is trying to do. I like the fact that they're trying to raise awareness of it, because we do have a lot of people in our community that are disabled, and we want to be as inclusive as possible.
And just to remind everyone, they are planning also future online rituals. If you're interested, you can go to their page the group on Facebook. It is a closed group, so you would have to request to join, it looks like. It is the Pagan Federation for Pagans with Disabilities. And it looks like they also have started a new project called Disabled Pagan Voices Project, which is another platform for participation. And it is submissions of art, blogs, short stories, poetry, music, or anything that expresses the creativity of disabled pagans or their caregivers is accepted and shared through the online festivals and the disability team blog. And this kind of gives ideas, especially with the new Facebook Live thing. People could do rituals on their Facebook pages and share them.
Yeah.
We might have to investigate that for our community center page.
Oh, doing a Facebook Live ritual?
Yeah. So, maybe. I don't know. I haven't really used Facebook Live, so I don't know how easy or difficult it is. Support them, and please, you know, just keep people with disabilities in mind when you plan events and stuff. It's always nice to make sure they know that they're not alone.
Yeah, and it's always a very pleasant surprise for someone who's disabled, and they go to an event and find out, oh my gosh, you know, they thought about porta potties for me. They thought about wheelchair porta potties, or they thought about this, or they thought about how am I going to get into the dining hall, or oh my gosh, they figured out how to make sure the cabins I can get in and out of. So yeah, it's a huge thing to someone who does have disabilities, and a lot of times when that happens, you'll get someone who's actually rather loyal to coming to your festival every year, because it's like, yay, I can be in the community and, you know, be part of everything and not, you know, not have to worry about accessibility issues. So, what else do we have going on, Samara?
Let's see. Yeah, that's right. Tuatha Dea has been posting stuff. For those of you that have the Green Album, I have to go to their webpage, though. And it's not just their Green, I said their Green Album, but it's not just their Green Album. It's like almost every well-known pagan artist's album. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's an awesome album.
So, but they've apparently gotten some feedback from, let's see, what was the name of the, from the Rainforest Trust that the proceeds were going from the Green Album for. And the Rainforest Trust sent them, I guess it looks like certificates to each person based on their personal sales. And it says how many acres they saved. Let's see, the Green Album itself generically has donated to protect 1,817 acres of the, I can't read it because it's so small, but I think it says Belanga Forest Reserve in the Dominican Republic of the Congo. Tuatha Dea did a 902 acres. Kelia Ferran did 668. S.J. Tucker, 877. Mama Gina, 233. And Winter and Sharon Knight, 279 acres. So I just want to say congratulations to them and just kind of show, hey, we're out there doing stuff. Pagans are out there doing stuff. Don't get left behind.
Yeah, and the Green Album is awesome. You should own a copy. You really should. Just saying, you should
own a copy. My problem is I haven't downloaded it on my phone yet, and I try to listen to it to my CD player. My CD player would only play some of the songs because my CD player is so old.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I need to get to downloading that onto iTunes and get it on my phone. So, but, yeah, they, yeah. I'm very happy for them. I'm very happy for everyone that has bought the album. So please, keep it up. So let's see, what else is going on? Do we know anything else that's going on right now? Let's see, the Pagan Academic European Associate Network, PAEAN, will be hosting their next conference November 7th. The deadline for submission is October 7th. The event's theme is spiritual pilgrimage in its many forms. Cool. The keynote speaker is Dr. Thomas Cloud Daffern, philosopher, educator, and peace studies specialist. That sounds pretty cool. I don't know. I'm assuming that's somewhere in Europe.
Yeah, I love Europe. I've been there once, so that's kind of part of my why I like it.
Oh, there's definitely something else we need to touch on.
What?
Guess who's opening headquarters in Salem, Massachusetts?
Who?
The Satanic Temple.
Oh, wow, cool. Which group of it? Which group is?
It recently opened a branch in the UK.
Yeah,
it's planning on opening its international headquarters in Salem.
Yeah.
The spokesperson, Lucian Greaves, said, Salem emerged as an obvious choice to be established as the base for our operations. In addition to Salem's history and proximity to the intellectual hub of Boston, the people we have spoken to have been incredibly friendly and supportive. It is being housed in a Victorian home built in 1882 and was once used as a funeral home. Along with offices, the building will also house the Salem Art Gallery, which will feature various artists and standing exhibits on the Satanic Panic and other witch hunts. They hope to host lectures and other events, and it will also be temporarily showcasing its famous or infamous 1.5-ton statue of Baphomet, created by Mark Porter. The new Satanic Temple headquarters is located on Bishop Street and open to the public Friday. That was posted 4 days ago, so it's open to the public tomorrow.
Yeah, the famous or infamous 1.5-ton statue of Baphomet, I believe that's the one that was in the Oklahoma State House. And actually, some people are going to go, oh my gosh, she's supporting the Satanic Temple. But no, there's a couple of different Satanic groups out there. Most of the folks with this group, a lot of them are atheists, actually. It's really hard to describe exactly what all their beliefs are, but they've been actually doing a lot of things good for our community, in that, like, when good news clubs pop up in a school, they'll be like, oh, okay, if that school system is allowing after-school Christian clubs, we'll have an after-school Satan club as well. And the school system can't say no because they open the door. And, like, there was this one group that brought Bibles into the school. So the same group is the one that basically did the Satanic activity book and wanted it distributed to students in the school as well. And I actually got to look at, like, the pictures and stuff in the Satanic activity book. And the funny thing is, it's all about diversity and tolerance and standing up for people who are, like, shunned and stuff. But a lot of it's about diversity and tolerance. So in some ways, they're actually doing some really neat work. And usually it's like, there's a book out, because I know now they're having after-school Satan clubs in school systems, and I know they're having them in the Northeast, and it was kind of in a response to the fact that good news clubs are popping up everywhere. And the thing about the good news clubs is that they're founded by the Child Evangel Fellowship. And it's actually a pretty hardcore Christian right group that basically seeks to evangelize children. There's actually a really good book out there that explains the whole phenomenon called The Good News Club, written by a journalist. I've actually read it. I can't remember the journalist's name right now off the top of my head. But she started writing it kind of. She's a Jew, and she started writing it kind of as a response to when Good News Club started popping up in her daughter's elementary school. And she wasn't happy about that. And then, you know, her daughter's all of a sudden having problems because of what they're teaching in the Good News Clubs about Jewish kids. And they can get away with it because there's all sorts of rules and stuff, and these good news clubs can get away with it. So the good folks at the Satanic Temple have said, well, if they can teach those values, we can come in after school and teach the values of inclusivity, tolerance, diversity, and that would actually go a long way of making the world a better place. So, you know, I actually think it's kind of cool that they've set up this way, and you know, I never thought that I would be okay with you know, if you told me 30 years ago that I'd be cool with like a group that is satanic, or a group that calls them the Satanic Temple, and I'd be okay with them, and I would think that some of what they were doing is cool, I would have laughed. I would have said, you've got to be kidding me. I'd never think that way. But now, you know, and people change, times change. But
I think another thing is that the Satanic Temple has come out and become so public on their views, I would say, in the last even couple years. And offering protection of Muslims to women, and just been really open and out there about their views, that I think a lot of people are starting to look at the Satanic Temple completely different.
Well, I believe that the Satanic Temple is also the group that there was a woman who wanted to have an abortion, and she is a member of the Temple of Satan. And
she wasn't a member. They offered to let her join and claim religious discrimination.
Yeah, because basically what it was is she didn't want to have to go through the mandatory ultrasound, all the mandatory counseling, all this other stuff. And basically, you know, all these people say, well, you know, my religious freedom as a Christian demands this. Well, basically she's like, no, my religious freedom says that, you know, it's my body. I am sacred. I am this, I am that. So, and also in the blog, or not in the blog, but in our chat room, I actually just posted the link for the After School Satan. And if you actually want to look at their materials, it's at afterschoolsatan.com. And I mean, I'm telling you, the values that they are trying to teach, I think, are actually American values, which I think is hilarious, that, you know, the Church of Satan is talking about tolerance and diversity and stuff like that, and, you know, they're really pushing back against these idiots. And I'm actually quite happy to, you know, I'm really happy with what they are trying to do. Yeah, the Satanic Children's Big Book of Activities is another one. And it says on their page, it's important that children be given an opportunity to realize that the evangelical materials now creeping into their schools are representative of but one religious opinion amongst many. While the Good News Clubs focus on indoctrination, instilling them with a fear of hell and God's wrath, After School Satan Clubs will focus on free inquiry and rationalism, the scientific basis for which we know what we know and the world around us. We prefer to give children an appreciation of natural wonders surrounding them, not a fear of everlasting and otherworldly horrors. The Satanic Temple offers exemptions against corporal punishment and solitary confinement against schools as well. So, and that's directly from their website. So,
I guess since we started a little late, we can go over just a little bit. But here's a different story for you.
Okay.
The Nashville Scene posted this on their website. I don't know if it was actually on their page, but it's titled Apocalypse Meow. How a cult that believes in cats are divine beings ended up in Tennessee.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. It says that Reverend Cheryl Ruffin and a few dozen followers left Washington State 3 years ago hoping to find a place where they could live in peace and quietly wait for the apocalypse. Along the way, they hoped to rescue as many cats as possible. Those cats, according to Ruffin's writings and interviews with former followers, are divine creatures that will carry the 144,000 souls mentioned in the Book of Revelation. But their unorthodox beliefs and controversial history followed it all the way across the country. They run a nonprofit cap shelter known as Eva's Eden, and they describe themselves as a peaceful group devoted to Mother Nature and living in harmony. They foster dozens of kittens in their homes and host cat adoption events in their air-conditioned mobile cat playground. Our call has always been to help ease suffering, and we are Eva's Eden, bringing love to the world one cat at a time. And they wrote this on a now-deleted Facebook post. But a group of former followers says Ruffin's ministry is a cult of personality devoted to its prophet, who they say claims to be a divine Magdalene, a reincarnated Messiah figure who will create a new Eden after the apocalypse. Those former followers say they once worshipped Ruffin, following her every command, even leaving their families for her sake. They now run a Facebook page aimed at exposing what they call an abusive cult. Eva's Eden denies these claims. They say former members are a hate group founded by Ruffin's ex-husband, aimed at slandering their ministry. The nonprofit has responded to critics by denouncing them online, trading letters with legal threats, and then posting cute cat videos on YouTube. So it says that in early August, Eva's Eden disappeared. 2 days after a reporter requested an interview with Ruffin or other leaders, Eva Eden's website went down. His Facebook page and YouTube accounts vanished, and the group canceled a planned public cat adoption at a Kroger grocery store in nearby Spring Hill. Ruffin's daughter and manager of Eva Eden also filed a criminal complaint with the Maurice County Sheriff's Office against Rachel Gunderson, one of the group's critics, accusing her of harassment. So I guess they've kind of, I don't know. So are they Christian, but then they say that they're, I don't know. Are you there?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what to make of this.
I don't either.
It just, I don't know, it just seems so out there. I mean, it's not different to worship cats. I mean, but I guess if it really is a cult or not will be the question. So, I don't know. I guess it'll be interesting to see what happens with them.
Mm-hmm.
So. Okay, so is there anything else that you think we should discuss real quick before we end for the night? I just wanted to kind of... By the way, there's something going around saying that Trump was calling out people that weren't Christian or something.
I'm not really sure about that because I haven't really read it on a credible news source. Let me go check HuffPo because I don't necessarily believe everything I hear about the man. I'm not a fan, but...
Right, and the only reason I'm mentioning it is because someone I actually trust posted it that usually checks that stuff out first. I actually didn't get to read the article yet.
Yeah, I'm actually looking. I mean, I know he's got... And John Oliver actually did a really, really good takedown
of him. I like
John
Oliver.
I love John Oliver. Oh, my gosh.
Small hands.
But I can't see anything, at least on my sources, that say
it looks like they may have removed the post. So it could be that they posted it and then removed it when, because I just went to the person's site that posted it, and apparently they removed it.
Yeah. I mean, I know there's a lot of talk right now about his misogyny and stuff. However, you know, our show, is really, for the most part, it's you know, we talk about politics, but we tend to stay apolitical, even though I have my personal opinions about it, and you know, I
and
still...
the only reason I brought it up was because of the whole religion thing.
Yeah.
But like I said, I didn't know if it was true or not, and I figured you of all people would know.
Yeah, I hadn't heard anything, and yeah, come on. Let's see. I watch Rachel Maddow. I mean, you know, I joke that, well, I have a crush on the girl, so, you know, she's awesome. I love Rachel Maddow. You know, I joke about having a crush on her. More like I want to pick her brain apart for, like, an hour. I'd be in heaven. but, you know, I haven't really seen anything on all of my websites that I read, and I have kind of what I like to refer to as a bullshit meter on websites. Like, there are some sources that I know are biased. You know, like Breitbart, I know it's biased. I don't get my news from there. Newsmax can be, I tend to go for like HuffPo, New York Times, MSNBC, CNN. I do get a few things off alternate, but it's also kind of I consider the original source of the story, because sometimes they've got good stuff, sometimes they've got some real crackpot writers on there too. But I've not heard Donald Trump really say anything against evangelical Christians or against people not being Christians. The only religion I've heard him consistently criticize is Muslims. And I myself have a problem with that. But I've not heard anything about him besides the whole thing that I've not heard of anything beyond his statements to Muslims or about Muslims.
Okay. I was just curious because I didn't know. So, all right. So I guess it's really time for us to end the show. So I am going to, what events are coming up are, let me go. Let's see. Hexen Fest starts tomorrow, September 30th to the 2nd at Isis Oasis in Gaysersville, California. You can get tickets somewhere. I don't know. It doesn't say. But I know they have a website, and Sharon Knight, is, I believe it's the one arranging it. Oh, hexenfest.net. So check that out for more information. October 1st, Saturday, is the 2016 Dayton Pagan Pride Day, One World, One Family. It's at Brown School Road in Vandalia, Ohio, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. It says Taylorsville Metro Park Red Fox Shelter Area. Also, October 1st is Saturday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. is Nashville Pagan Pride Day in Nashville, Tennessee. And that is at Two Rivers Park. Let's see. Intro to Paganism Adult Baby Pagans Class 3 is at Akasha's Way in Fort Knox, Kentucky, Wednesday, October 5th at 7 p.m. Shadow Moot 2016, October 7th through the 9th at Cedars of Lebanon State Park.
Yeah.
It is co-hosted by Raven Moon Hearth and Well of Shadows. Admission $40 per person, and day passes are $20. And there's a link on their page to go to PayPal to buy tickets, but you'll have to go to Shadow Moot 2016, search that in events, and go on. I'm sorry, you were going to say something.
Yeah, no, it's a great group of people. It's a great event. I know the people involved. I've not been able to go down there to the event, but I know the people involved, and I've heard nothing but wonderful things about that event. So, you know, if you're in the Nashville area, and it is kind of, you know, they have heathens there. So, I mean, it's heathen and pagan, which is actually really nice. It's one of those events where, you know, you get some crossover, which is good.
So, October 8th, Saturday, October 8th at 12, it says 12 p.m. to 10 p.m. Like I said last week, I'm not really sure what that time means. But the Emerald Rose's farewell concert. If you're like me, Emerald Rose was like one of your first introductions into pagan music, and they are doing their last concert at Starbridge Event Center in Murrayville, Georgia. I've never seen them in concert, and I'm so depressed I can't go. Tickets are $15 per person. Camping tickets are available for additional $10 per person. Check out Emerald Rose's site for more information. Let's see, October 8th, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. in Asheville, North Carolina, Asheville Raven and Crone, preparing for Samhain, which actually sounds like a really cool class. Ancestor Altars and the Origins of the Holy Day and the Significance in Modern Pagan Culture. It is $20. You come away with a checklist of what's possible as we approach the deep, intensely magical season. Join Byron Ballin for a thorough session of all things Samhain. I love Byron. Also, Saturday, October 8th, 7 p.m. to 2 a.m. is the Ohio Valley Witches Ball with Circle of Mother Earth. It is a fundraiser, I think, but it is at the Radisson Hotel, Cincinnati Riverfront in Covington, Kentucky. Tickets available at circleofmotherearth.org. Also, Kelly or Celia, I always mess her name up. She is going to be doing an online show live from anywhere. She's doing it from Kansas City, but it's live anywhere online. Saturday, October 8th, 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. It's at concertwindow.com. Let's see, we also have October 12th at Akasha's Way in Fort Knox. There will be at 7 p.m. a Samhain workshop. Also, let's see, Summerlin Grove Presents Festival of Souls 2016. And in Millington, Tennessee, at Meeman Shelby Forest State Park, October 13th through the 16th. There's a lot of people there if you're part of the Puff family. I believe a lot of the Puff family goes there, too. Also, October 14th through the 16th, Lothlorien Women's Retreat, Learning from the Land. Tickets available at elvenhome.org. This is Lothlorien Nature Sanctuary in Bedford, Indiana. Let's see, October 15th is Saturday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. is Atlanta Pagan Pride Day. It's going to be in Decatur, Georgia. Tickets available at atlantapaganpride.org. I don't know if they're actually selling tickets. It may just be more information. And then I'm going to finish out that weekend, so just let me make sure there's nothing else going on that weekend. Surviving the Cold and Flu Season with Earthwise Traditions, Touch of Health LLC in Shelbyville, Indiana. Tickets available at earthwisetraditions.com. October 16th, Creating Prayer Cards at Asheville Raven and Crone in Asheville, North Carolina. That's at 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. October 16th. Samhain Roots, okay, that's the next weekend, so I'll go to that weekend next week.
You forgot one other thing coming up.
Oh, yes, you're moot. Go. I don't have the information for me.
Okay, so it's going to be Friday night, October 7th, Wicks in the Highlands. Join for all the Louisville heathen adjacent, people who are questioning heathenry, October 7th at Wicks on Baxter Avenue, 7 o'clock. I will be there along with a few other wonderful, lovely heathens from the area will be here to join us. We'll have beer, pizza, and conversation. So be sure to come and join us if you're in the area. We'd love to have you. Once again, that's at Wicks on Baxter Avenue. I said Bardstown Road, but it's actually on Baxter Avenue. But, yeah. So, yep.
Okay, so do you have anything set up for next week yet?
For next week, I do not. I am working on something. I have to get it going. So,
okay.
Yeah, I am up to, I am always plotting something while I'm plotting again. So, mwahahaha. Not kidding. But you all, out there, have a great week. Y'all be safe out there.
Everyone have a blessed evening. And we will speak to you next week. Do you have a song set up for us?
I am going to take us out with some Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and it's going to be Wreck of the Modern Pagan. So,
By the way, everyone.
Yes.
By the way, our Facebook page, facebook.com/treeoflifeluky.org, and you can send us messages on what you would like to hear on upcoming shows, possibly, and let us know.
Yep, and also don't forget our listener line, 502-276-5665. So until next week, y'all be safe.
Plastic handles, ninja swords, and simulated crystal orbs in unread print, praise Big Blue. He'll teach young women what he knows if they take off all their clothes and spiral dance into his bedroom. She won't say marry me because she's a vegetarian. She's afraid it violates the reed. She only reads Fiona Horn and believes she is reborn from an ancient Pictish queen. It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
Pixelated motherboards and three-pronged grounded power cords is coming in the chat room on Yahoo. His high priest is in NYC, his priestess is in Germany. The court is called from no one has a clue. They read their screens by candlelight, and each one does his own great rite consisting of the alternate keys. F7 scribes a circle round, and F8 takes the circle down. F9 types a hearty blessed be.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
Why do people laugh his way and shake their heads and walk away when he says he's a Virgo through and through? He wants to study Salima and the mystic Kabbalah, but Hebrew words are giving him the blues. He understands the Sephiroth from Kether down to Yetzirah. He even knows what's meant by 661. He won't call his tradition witchcraft. It's more like H.P. Lovecraft. All hail the Necronomicon.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
All he wears is gothic black, and tattooed on his gothic back, the scene of Jesus hanging on the cross. The reference is cursory, and hanging from his rosary, a pentacle he says that someone lost. He only listens to death metal, cause he says it's spiritual. He wants to play guitar like Jimmy Page. Mom's patient with his attitude, her past is strictly druid. She hopes that he'll come around someday.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong. He learned his sense of history from RPGs like D&D. He thinks Gary Gygax is a god. His paladin keeps getting trounced by wizard clerics who jump out and turn his +2 arrows into mud. The magic that he learns from books like D&D and Terry Brooks he tried to use in Circle once or twice. Last time he woke up in a funk,
in a Mitsubishi trunk, cause demons really don't play nice.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I wanna be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
He's TOS and OTO and BTW Borneo. His voodoo priestess grew up in KC. He says his first is Frostian, his second is Arthurian, his third he got while studying Reiki. He reads books by Bonowitz, Gramsci, and the Budapest, in volumes signed by Raven Silver Moon. His path may seem a bit deranged, eclecticism is his game. I think he's added Baptist in there too.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I want to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
The Viking path's a one for him, and it's just not a silly whim. His great, 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 great granddad did it too. His songs use funny sounding words. 1,000 years they ain't been heard, and some of them are written in ancient runes. He looks upon Paganistan as something to be conquered, and his horn is always filled with meter brews. He laughs at silly pagan folk and thinks he knows more than the Pope. His Mjolnir stuck right up his ass, it's true.
It's fun to be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Make the rules up as you go along. I wanna be a ceremonial Wiccan Druid shaman. Come back in another life if I get it wrong.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans Unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.